Baruch Atah Yehovah, Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Yishen Etanu Nutera Emet V'Hayolam B'Tikenu, Baruch Atah Yehovah Notein HaTorah, Yishem Yeshua Mashikenu Ha'ol Ha'olam, Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, you giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the Light of the world. Amen. A very interesting parasha. All that grumbling going on after all the miracles that they'd seen. So today I'm going to speak out of the Torah, and I'm going to speak about from coming out to going in. And I'm going to speak out of Shemot Exodus. So let us just pray. Abba Father, we just thank you for this word today, and we just pray that we will be able to see the things that you have shown me that we can share with each other, that we can come and realize that all the grumblings and the complainings and the things that went on are not of you. And Abba, we just thank you and praise you that you guide and teach us, and you show us exactly from your word how we are to live. We just give you the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. So we'll start off with Shemot, Exodus chapter 14, verses 30 to 31. And it said, On that day, Yehovah saved Israel from the Egyptians. Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the shore. When Israel saw the mighty deed that Yehovah had performed against the Egyptians, the people feared Yehovah, and they believed in Yehovah and in his servant Moshe. And it also says in chapter 15, which we read today, in verses 22 to 27, Moshe led Israel onward from the Sea of Suf. They went to the Shur Desert. But after travelling 3 days in the desert, they found no water. They arrived at Marah, but they couldn't drink the water there because it was bitter. This is why it was called Marah, means bitterness. The people grumbled against Moshe and asked, What are we to drink? Moshe cried to Yehovah, and Yehovah showed him a certain piece of wood, which when he threw it in the water, made the water taste good. There Yehovah made laws and rules for them, and he tested them. He goes on to say, he said, if you will listen intently to the voice of Yehovah your Elohim, do what he considers right, pay attention to his mitzvot and observe his laws, I will not afflict you with any diseases I brought on the Egyptians, because I am Yehovah your healer. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees camped there by the water. And this leads me to Tehillim, or Psalms, chapter 103, verse 7, which says, he made his ways known to Moshe, his mighty deeds to the people of Israel. Yehovah did mighty deeds, bringing them out of Egypt and showing them things. And so when they arrived the morning after the spirit of death went through Egypt, while the Hebrews were in their houses protected by the blood of the Lamb, this laid the foundation of the exit to Mitzrayim, or Egypt, and was counted as the first day. We can also thank Yah for the death of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Passover lamb. It was once again the first day when he was crucified. He paid the price for our sins. His crucifixion cut us off from the fallen race of Adam, and put us into the new creation race of Yeshua HaMashiach, as some call, even call the new Adam or Adam. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, it says, for the Messiah's love has hold of us, because we are convinced that one man died on behalf of all mankind, which implied that all mankind was already dead. The first day represents all Yah did in getting us out. Getting us out of where we were before we knew Yeshua. Like getting Israel out of Egypt. Like Paro's kingdom came to its knees under Yehovah's mighty hand, Hasatan's kingdom has to come to its knees in relation to our lives that we were once bound beneath, and the power and force that he is trying to force back on us in this day and age. In Shemot Exodus chapter 13, verse 20, it says, they travelled from Sukkot and came upon a camp in Etam at the edge of the desert. They went to the second day when they encamped. So during the second day, we read in Shemot Exodus chapter 14, verses 31 to chapter 15, verse 1, when Israel saw the mighty deed that Yehovah had performed against the Egyptians, the people feared Yehovah and they believed in Yehovah and in his servant Moshe. Well, that's good, isn't it? That's good. They believed. Then Moshe and the people of Israel sang the song of Yehovah. I will sing to Yehovah, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider, he's thrown into the sea. There is joy, there is revelation that we experience in that second day. Just as immersion is the second item listed in Acts 22, verse 38, the second day of Shemot saw the Sea of Suf flow over and destroy the armies of the Egyptians. Remember, they'd camped all night on that first day, and the second day it was that the waters was opened. Israel saw, rejoiced, and they sang. The scriptures often speak of seeing something or understanding, then rejoicing. We all rejoiced last weekend as people were immersed and came back up out of the waters of immersion, of dying to self and following Yehovah. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12, 54, verse 1, and Minister Yitzhak went there last week, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself. But it says, therefore, I will assign him a share with the great. He will divide the spoil with the mighty, for having exposed himself to death and being counted among the sinners while actually bearing the sin of many and interceding for the offenders. And in 54 verse 1, it says, sing, barren woman who has never had a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you have never been in labour. For the deserted wife will have more children than the woman who is living with her husband, says Yehovah. This same applies with the great Yeshayahu chapter of 53 of Yeshua's death, which I said Minister Yitzhak brought last week. After we read it, the 54th chapter begins by saying, sing. When you truly get a revelation of what happened in Yeshua's death, you will sing. Your heart will be full of joy. I thank Yah for all the singing. In other words, any rejoicing testimony, because it tells us about how Yah delivered someone from Egypt. Egypt speaks of bondage that we used to be in. We hear a lot here about deliverance from demons. It can be all sorts of demons, alcohol, drugs, all sorts of things. We hear a lot about broken families and what they're going through. But the first rejoicing to occur in any life is in salvation. And although it seems that the Hebrews travelled 3 full days, how many days? 3. After singing and rejoicing, they travelled 3 days and they forgot all about the singing and the dancing. In 3 days. The third day, when Yeshua was resurrected from the grave, they were mourning. And the events that occurred on his third day in Shemot corresponds to the resurrection, on the third day here, corresponds to the resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach on the third day and the reason for salvation. In Shemot Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, It says, Moshe led Israel onward from the Sea of Suf. They went into the Shur desert, but after travelling 3 days in the desert, they found no water. On the third day when Yeshua was resurrected, there was a cause for a greater and more advanced cause for rejoicing than at this third day. The first rejoicing was the hold of Hasatan that Jehovah had broken out from each and every one of us and saved us. But there is a greater rejoicing that the first rejoicing is supposed to lead us into. There is rejoicing for coming out. We rejoiced when people came out of the water. We couldn't rejoice when they went in because they were under. But we could rejoice when they came out. So that's the time of coming, when the coming out is also a time of rejoicing. In Devarim, Deuteronomy 6:23, it says, He brought us out from there in order to bring us in to the land He had sworn to our ancestors that He would give us. They had to come out of Egypt before they could go in to the promised land. Jehovah saves us out of a pagan lifestyle so that He can bring us into something else. And that is often referred to in some cases as the new wine. But I'm not talking about the new wine of the Ruach that we've just received, or the Ruach after immersion. I'm talking about entering into a new lifestyle. It's not just a one-off thing that, yes, we've entered into something and now that's it. We have to change our lifestyle. So just as we were in a lifestyle that so many different situations in our pagan lifestyle, there's also a lifestyle in our believer's walk that is something totally different. It's more than just attending a messianic service instead of one's own selfish desires every weekend. Moshe led the Hebrews from the Sea of Suf, where they rejoiced on what they came out of. Jehovah wants us to leave the coming out of phase. Some people are stuck at the Sea of Suf and they haven't gone any further. We cannot just stay coming out. We need to move forward to what Yah has promised for us. There are two kingdoms here that have been mentioned: Mitzrayim, or Egypt, and the land of promise. Israel was Yah's people right from the beginning. But although the people had been out of Mitzrayim's kingdom and no longer under the control of Paro, there was the quality of their lives and their experience of that new kingdom being exercised at this stage? No. The people were of Yah's new kingdom, but they were not enjoying the kingdom yet. They were not actually in Canaan. Jehovah took us out of Hasatan's kingdom when He saves us. But Yah has a wilderness experience between Mitzrayim and Canaan that we need to go through. He takes remnants of the old life and the kingdom out of our lives and replaces them with new elements of His kingdom. And sometimes, for some people, it's a pretty big shift. And this perfectly describes how people progress. Some people act like sinners even though they've been saved. In their personalities, in their attitudes, their way of handling things. But they've still not received a full mind reset. We have to reset the mind. Jehovah took their sins and destroyed their citizenship from Mitzrayim, but they still think they're back in Mitzrayim. Just like the Israelites, begging to go back. The outward things change, but then Yah has to work on the inward things. You may not drink or smoke, but how do you act in certain situations? Egypt can still be in a believer's mind. And he brought us out to bring us into. The physical things change and we rejoice over that. But then Yah wants a new rejoicing. He wants us to go to a further level. Rejoicing over how he delivered us from a deeper things because new ways were put inside of us. Torah observance is a good example of this. You may have been a believer for many years, but Yah is bringing you into a further level where you can rejoice in new revelations. He instructed Moshe instructed Israel to follow Yehovah's mitzvot and his rulings. And that's what we're doing when we come out of, whether it's Christianity or Judaism or where we've come out of to come into a messianic belief. We have to put aside those old examples and follow Yehovah's Torah and his mitzvot and obey those which are applicable to us as an individual. A woman is not bound by a man's mitzvot, as a woman isn't bound by a woman's mitzvot. A married woman isn't bound by a single woman's mitzvot, and vice versa. You know, it depends what situation you are in, what mitzvot you have to obey. As Moshe took Israel past the Sea of Suf and its rejoicing, Yah leads us further than just getting delivered and following any religion or denomination. He wants us to take us into a new thinking and a new personality. They came upon the bitter water. Only 3 days after they'd left Egypt, they came across the bitter water. And although the people had no more chains of Egypt, no more physical whips on their backs, they still acted like they did when they were in Egypt, even after seeing the miracle of their salvation at the Sea of Suf. This always boggles me. It really does. 3 days they'd forgotten already how they'd been saved through the Sea of Suf. At the Sea of Suf, in Shemot Exodus 14:11, and said to Moshe, "Was it because there weren't enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out to die in the desert? Why have you done this to us, bringing us out of Egypt?" And after the Sea of Suf, they go on for chapter 15, 23 and 24. They arrived at Marah but couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. This is why they called it Marah. What did the people do? They grumbled against Moshe and asked, "What are we to drink?" They'd already seen him do miracles with the 12 plagues. They'd already seen the sea open up and then pass through and close up over the Egyptians. 3 days later, they're grumbling. They've got short memories. They still grumbled and complained. I don't know. I was delivered in 1951, but I grumble and complain sometimes too in bad situations. Do you grumble as you did before at the Sea of Suf? See this dealing with your inner person. That's what we have to look at. We have to look at our own inner person. The way your soul, that is your mind, your will and your emotions, act in a certain situation. Your body used to be into sin of one form or another, but you were freed at the Sea of Suf. And now your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions are Yah's concern. And your soul is where your attitude is. The first day is the lamb's blood. The second day, the Sea of Suf or water immersion. But the third day is resurrection. Israel saw what Yah did to the Egyptians and he rejoiced. But now Yehovah wants you to see more. He wants you to see something deeper. In Shemot Exodus chapter 15 verse 25, it says, "Moshe cried to Yehovah, and Yehovah showed him a certain piece of wood, which he threw into the water and made the water taste good. Then Yehovah made laws and rules of life for them where he tested them." That is, he gave them the Torah. It wasn't given at Mount Sinai. It was given here. They were given instructions here. Yehovah showed Moshe a piece of wood. When I hear that, I think of the stake. The stake was a piece of wood. You would think that the stake was the first thing they saw, but instead we read what they saw was what Yah did to the enemy. You saw what Yah did to your sin and wickedness, but now Yah wants to take you deeper and show you beyond what he did and shows you what he used to do. When you go deeper with Yah, you grow more mature in the Ruach or the Spirit. You come to learn his ways, not man's ways. His ways are found in the Torah, which are the instructions he gave his people to follow. Notice Moshe was shown a certain piece of wood. It wasn't any piece of wood. It was this particular piece of wood that he was shown. And it wasn't Israel that was shown the wood. It was just Moshe. The people continued to complain. Instead of complaining, what did Moshe do? In Exodus 15, 24 and 25, it says, the people grumbled against Moshe and asked, what are we to drink? Then what does Moshe do? He doesn't answer them. He cries to Yehovah. He didn't bother answering them. He went straight to Yehovah. While people grumble to man, Moshe cries out to Yehovah. That's the difference between being spiritually immature and being spiritually mature believers. The people only saw what Yah did, but they didn't take any notice of what Moshe did. In Shemot chapter 14, verse 31, when Israel saw the mighty deed that Yehovah had performed against the Egyptians, the people feared Yehovah and they believed in Yehovah and his servant Moshe. They believed in Moshe. They trusted him. They still grumbled. The problem is they were grumbling to Moshe, but actually grumbling against Yehovah. I believe there's a deeper joy and a deeper glory in knowing Yehovah's ways, which he went on to show them in chapter 15. While the people saw what Yehovah did, he just showed Moshe a piece of wood or a way to change things. It's Yeshua's death on the stake that changed things for us forever. He even showed Moshe his ways when he told Moshe to use the rod to touch the rock to bring out water later on in our reading. The people only complained about the armies behind them. Yah showed Moshe the rod that he was used, or the piece of wood, which was only a piece of wood, to use to bring them water. The rod or the wood also speak of Yeshua and the stake. Seeing the stake means understanding Yah's ways. When you only see the acts of Yah, you can easily complain. But when you come to see Yehovah's acts, you no longer complain. Yah's ways aren't our ways. We only have to look at Israel and what happened on October the 7th, 2023. This happened to Yah's people, and he allowed it to happen, just as he allowed what happened to Job or Eov to happen to him, with losing everything he had, including his family and everything. Complaining is only done when you do not know what to do. If you know what to do, you don't complain. You just change things or get on with things and move on. Or maybe you don't know the way, so you complain that you've got lost. But when Yah shows you his ways, then you know what to do because you know the way. We follow Yeshua, who is the way, the truth, and the life. In slide 14 to 25b, Shemot 14, 25b to 27, and it says, and Yehovah showed him a certain piece of wood, which then he threw into the water and made the water taste good. Then Yehovah made laws and rules of life for them, and there he tested them. And he said, if you will listen intently to the voice of Yehovah your Elohim, do what he considers right, pay attention to his mitzvot, and observe his laws, I will not afflict you with any diseases I brought on the Egyptians, because I am Yehovah your healer. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and camped there by the water. Yah needed to test them first before he brought them to the water. Yah tests us in many ways all through our life. But when we look back on our life, especially when you get to my age and you look back and all those testings, and you think, thank you, Yah. Because without that, I wouldn't have complete faith in what's going to happen in this world today if I hadn't have been tested. Take the stake and put it into your situation. This is Yah's way in action. The way Yah dealt with sin is the way you must also deal with deeper things. And this is the first thing Yehovah says to Israel after he spoke to Moshe to use his rod. It involves the way you live. The ways of Yah and his acts were destroying the enemy. Then you move into his ways, and it is by moving into Yah's lifestyle. And the enemy that's in front of you is nowhere near as big as you thought it was when you are living according to Yah's lifestyle. Most only know the stake for saving them from sin, nothing more than that. People go their entire lifetimes knowing only about the stake. But if they were truly delivered, they would rejoice forevermore about Yehovah's lifestyle. He brought us out of Egypt to bring us in to the promised land. He brought us out of bondage and all those shackles to bring us into things which are far better. Yehovah spoke about healing and diseases. Let us think about that. Do you still have the inner disease of complaint? Do you murmur? Do you doubt the ways you always doubted? Do you fear the way you feared as a sinner? Or do you fret over bills the way you did as a sinner? You are Yehovah's child, but do you act like he is not your father, the way sinners act, by complaining in doubt to man instead of crying to him for help? Yehovah is your help. I have been crying to help for help for many people, especially since 25th of December and those storms, and people are still suffering. But we're seeing answered prayer because Yah hears our prayer. You are Yehovah's child, but do you act like you are? Moshe knew Yah's ways, but Yah wanted Israel to know his ways and to do them. In Devarim, Deuteronomy 12, verses 8 and 9, it says, you will not do the things the way you do them here today, where everyone does whatever his own opinion seems right, because you haven't yet arrived at the rest and inheritance which Yehovah your Elohim is giving you. The reason believers are not experiencing joy is because they do not know Yah's ways. And if they don't know them, then they can't live them. If they were living them, then they would be at complete peace and rest. The key to living Yah's ways involves self-denial. Man, in Hebrew, is the word ish. We're living in a generation where we have to get the ish out of the man, because we're living in a self-ish generation. That's just my linguistics playing with words, putting Hebrew and English together and having a play. But when you look at it that way and realise that ish is man in Hebrew, and we've got to get the ish out of self, or the man out of self, and start looking at Yah's ways, not our ways. In Matityahu chapter 10, verse 39, it says, "Whoever finds his own life will lose it, but the person who loses his life for my sake will find it." We have to get rid of the old self, and we have to find Yehovah, because that way is the only way that we can look at life the way Yah sees it, follow him according to his ways, and know that there's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear from man whatsoever. In Matityahu 16, 24 to 25, it says, "When Yeshua told his Talmudim, 'If anyone wants to come after me, let him say no to himself, take up his execution stake and keep following me. For whoever wants to save his own life will destroy it. But whoever destroys his life for my sake will find it.'" We have to destroy the old self. We have to get the ish out of the man. Showing Moshe a piece of wood corresponds to doing Yah's word and not your own. Because the stake involves self-denial. The third day is walking in newness of life. Yeshua is risen, and we have risen with him. We are seated with him in heavenly places. In Romans 6, verses 3 to 5, it says, "Don't you know that those of us who have been immersed into the Messiah Yeshua have been immersed into his death? Through immersion into his death, we were buried with him, so that just as through the glory of the Father, the Messiah was raised from the dead, likewise we too might live a new life. For we have been united with him in a death like his, so we are also united with him in a resurrection like his." Likeness of his resurrection is not speaking about our bodies rising one day after death, although that will occur. It's speaking about walking in newness of life and walking in his kingdom now. It's a way of experiencing a new lifestyle. It's the whole point of the first day that he brought us in. It's like saying we died with him so that we might live with him. After reading about his death, we read about our living. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. "For the Messiah's love has hold of us, because we are convinced that one man died on behalf of all mankind, which implies that all mankind was already dead. And he died on behalf of all in order that those who live should not live any longer for themselves, but for the one who on their behalf died and was raised." Many people get stuck at the Sea of Suf rejoicing. They rejoice over deliverance, but watch out if you say something they do not like. Most are stuck in Yeshua's death, but they are not living a way of life Yeshua did in resurrection. We hear rejoicing over the demon in our lives, but what about rejoicing over being set free from a sharp tongue or a bad attitude, or easily being made angry? Yehovah will heal you so that your life can be blessed. We have to be experiencing that now. When we look at Yeshua on the stake, on either side of the tomb was death. Death beforehand and a resurrection life afterwards. Many are in the tomb spiritually. They are dead to sin, but not enjoying a life that is plainly different. Between Mitzrayim and Canaan is a wilderness. We can only enjoy healing and benefits of joy and so on after 2 Corinthians 5 mentions the death of Yeshua. It mentions living not unto ourselves, but unto him who saved us through our resurrection life. Without that obedience, we really aren't living. In Shoftim Judges chapter 17, verse 6, It says, at that time there was no king in Israel. A man simply did whatever he thought was right. This is where we're at the moment in this world. Mankind thinks whatever it does is right. Whether it's the protests that we saw yesterday, whether it's the way people live and don't care about others. It's all about self. And we have to get away from thinking that way. When we are doing what we want to do, despite Yehovah's ways, then Yah is not our king. We must be very careful whom we follow. If we follow the doctrines of man, be they Judaism or Christianity or any other religion, or follower of some man or woman's teaching that goes against the Torah and the word of Yah, then it is useless. It is Yeshua who is the word. And simply doing the things that is right goes against Yah is not good enough. There's many people who accept Yeshua as their saviour, but they're still living as if he doesn't exist. We have to get past that. In Ephesians 2 verses 5 to 7, it says that even when we were dead because of our acts of disobedience, he brought us to a life along with the Messiah. It is by grace that you have been delivered. That is, Yehovah raised us up with the Messiah Yeshua and seated us with him in heaven in order to exhibit in the ages to come how infinitely rich is his grace and how great is his kindness towards us who are united with Messiah Yeshua. We must live our life Yeshua's way. I have felt blessed most of my life as I believe I was brought up in the best of both worlds. Most people don't realise that. I was born into a family of strong Jewish faith. But yet I gave my life to Yeshua in 1951 before I'd even turned 8. And desired nothing but Yah's word from that day onwards. It was easy for me to toss away the doctrines of man, of both Judaism and Christianity, when Yah revealed to me the error of my ways. Yes, I followed Christianity because I thought that was what I had to do. But when Yah revealed it to me, it was a freedom. It was a complete joy. Hence the birthing of Beit Gan Eden. We have to follow not just the New Testament, but we need to follow all scriptures. Torah is the base. It's the basis of everything. The first 5 books are the most important books within the scriptures. The prophets were there to bring the people back to Torah. The writings, well, they were to teach us more of how to live a life. They were the prayers, the sayings of the righteous from which we can learn to change our lifestyle. When you read Proverbs and Psalms, you can follow the lifestyles of David and of Solomon, Shlomo, and you can see how things change. And especially when you read Ecclesiastes and you see how everything was, you know, useless and blowing on the wind because they weren't following the right things. Shlomo was very, very wise, but he made some awesomely huge mistakes. But he realised in the end of his life that it was the wrong thing to do. We learn to change our lifestyle and we learn to follow Yeshua through the Kedavah HaShalakim. But Yeshua was there to teach everyone to get back to the Torah. That's why he was crucified. He was crucified because he was telling the Kohanim and the scribes and the sages that they were doing the wrong thing. And they had to get back to observing the Torah and not the doctrines of man, which they brought out of Babylon. By understanding the truth of the Torah, by understanding the ways of changing our lifestyle to live as Yeshua did, who followed Torah to the nth degree, otherwise he could not have been crucified as a man without sin, as our lamb to be slaughtered. By understanding this leads us to a life of living Yehovah's ways. He has brought us out of an old lifestyle and in to his. Are there any questions? None? Okay, we'll move on to the remembrance service.